Rasa Lila discussion, Rasa Panchadhyaya, chapter 29, new verse beginning, verse 11, Rasa Panchadhyaya. Tameva paramatmanam jara buddhyapi sangata jahur gunamayam deham sadya prakshina. Translation. The speaker of the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, is speaking in the voice of the narrative, describing the scenes and the flow of the Leela. Now he's going to begin a discourse to the listener, Parikshit Maharaj. He steps aside from the narrative. He becomes the guru, the teacher. He's telling Leela, now Tattva. Narrative is the Leela, and discourse is the Tattva. Always Leela and Tattva combining together. This is Ras Leela, the greatest love story ever told. And yet now there's a class in the middle. When a Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they may tell Leela, in the middle of Leela, they'll interject Tattva. Say, wait a minute, what happened to the Leela? Freeze it, hold it in that window, open a new window. Hold the save the Leela window and open the Tattva window, something like this. So now he says, although Sri Krishna is Paramatma, so many times Paramatma word is mentioned, Achyuta Paramatma. He's speaking to Parikshit. Sri Krishna is Paramatma, the supreme soul. And these coward damsels of Braj, they thought of Shyam as their male lover. Jara buddhyapi sangata. Buddhi. Jara. Jara means lover, paramour. Jara. Jara. Sangata. They wanted sangha with him. And they associated with Shyam in that intimate mood. Buddhi, there's one thing to think of a lover, and the other thing is to meet and enjoy the lover. So Jara, Buddhi, thinking of Krishna as their paramour, their boyfriend. Then Sangata, they actually enjoy intimately. Sangha, prasanga. In that intimate mood as a paramour, as a result of that thinking and that action of the sadhana siddha gopis, all their karmic bondage was nullified and they abandoned their gross material bodies. Sadhya jahur gunamayam deham. Jahu means yahoo.com. Jahu means they gave up their guna maya deham. This body is made of mayam, deham. It's made of gun, guna. Tamagun, rajagun, satvagun. They gave it up. They abandoned. So the external meaning that the maya bodies, the external meaning can be that they died. If you give up, if your body, you give it up. If you give up the modes, guna maya deham, you give it up, that means you gave up your body. But all this body is a pile of karma expressed, a pile of karma expressed through bones and phlegm and fat and flesh and blood, lymph. That's what it is. And when the modes are given up, the body's given up. They died. People say that. They died and they took birth again. And then they got a chance to perfect their sadhana. But we don't say that. Brahma didn't die in the beginning of creation when he had bad thoughts. His gunamaya deha, his subtle body of gunamaya, it was wrong thinking. It was full of lust, lusty desires for his own daughter. That Jahu Guramaya Deham, he gave up that. The mind is also made of passion. Yes? Yes. Passionate mind. The sattvic mind, the serene sattvic mind of a sage, which is ever still like a lake, like the surface of a lake in a mountain, the top of a mountain, very still. The surface of the mind of the meditating rishi that's free from manovritti and vikshepa. It's still like a mountain pond. It's a sattvic man. So he gave up his rajasic man, his gunamaya deha, that body of thoughts. It says that deha means the body, this body of gunas, physical body or the mental body. Actually, it's the mental body that we have to give up. Because sarvupadi, that body, that upadi body, sarvupadi vinirmuktam, because that's where the problem is, hankara. Upadi is the subtle body. Interesting. Upadi is the subtle body. Sarvupadi vinirmuktam, then when that becomes pure, all behavior becomes pure, everything becomes transcendental, you experience Rishikesh, and you attain the eternal pure devotional service. Prabhupada's translation. The severe, painful yearnings of the coward damsels of Brajabhumi, caused by their not being able to see Krishna, freed them from all sinful reactions, and their ecstasy of transcendental love for Krishna was transcendental to all their reactions of material pious activities. All the gopis who concentrated their minds on Krishna in the spirit of paramour love became fully uncontaminated from all the fruitive reactions of material nature. And some of them immediately gave up their material bodies, developed under the three modes of material nature. So the Prabhupada is saying that they gave up their material bodies. But which one? There's two, the subtle material body and the gross material body. If you give up the subtle one, then you give up your connection with the gross one. So let's look at the points here. Here now, because in verse 12, the Leela narrative has stopped. Gopis have assembled on the banks of the Yamuna. Krishna called them. The Rasa dance has not started. Its chapter is called Meeting the Gopis. The beginning of the Rasa dance hasn't started yet. The Nayaka, the heroines, and the Nayak, the hero, is there. Most of the Nayakas are assembled around him. They've arrived there. But now the scene switches to those that didn't make it. And we're discussing them for several verses because they're more relevant to us. Because they're the sadhana siddha gopis. The nitya siddhas, right away. One call the flute and they're gone. But there is nothing could block them because their bodies are full of love. For Krishna, and there's nothing, no subtlety or and the gross, on any level, their transcendental forms were completely dedicated to Krishna's service as his eternal Ladini Shaktis, embodied Ladini Shakti. So they immediately left. But the sadhana siddhas, now there, some got out and some didn't. Just like you see in the Sangha of Vaishnavas, some are advanced and get liberated and some don't. Some get liberated at the end of this life, and some take another birth. They get out next. Everyone gets called in this life. Guru calls all disciples, come with me, hold my hand, and get liberated. Take up the Prem Seva, Radha Krishna, fully and absolutely, without any hesitation or any distraction. Put your mind aside, rest your mind, rest your ego, surrender fully. Then you go. The devotees in Second Avenue, they said, Prabhupada, we don't think so much about Krishna. And we're always thinking of you and your seva and trying to serve you. And if we die, they said, because Krishna says, Ante Narayana Smriti. Ante Narayana Smriti. At the end, when we leave this body, we're supposed to think of Narayan. I don't think we'll think of Narayan at the time of death. Yam yam vapi sran bhavam yachit yanti kalevram. Our bhava, we have guru bhav. We have guru bhakti. So at the end, we'll think of you. And where will we go? And Prabhupada said, If you're thinking of me when you die, then you'll come to me. Krishna says in the Gita, whoever dies remembering me goes to him. And then some other disciple said, well, Prabhupada, you'll be with Krishna. Yes. Then? And Prabhupada said, and then? So I've seen with my own eyes people leaving, my godbrothers leaving their body in the guest house in Vrindavan, lying on the floor, kirtan going on, crying in pain. It's very terrible thing, dying, leaving the body. So much pain. Then everyone's chanting, chant, Krishna Das, chant. Face grimacing with pain, holding someone's hand, or just going like this, moving this way, that way. And suddenly, Prabhupada! And starts smiling in the middle of death, the throes of death, right there, hardcore death happening in the room. Everyone's witnessing kirtan at feverish pitch. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then everyone could feel death lingering in the air to take away this soul. Huh? Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada's here, Prabhupada. I've seen him. What a sanskar. So then everyone, kirtan goes on, and crying and so many things. What happened? Guru never forsakes a devotee, and Krishna never forsakes his devotee. Krishna will be there. I remember Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, we were there towards the end of his preaching campaign in this world. Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, he was 102 years old. He was in Jagannath Puri, Chakratirtha Road, in his ashram. Two of our students were his nurses, male brahmacharis, were taking care of him. And sometimes he would be in samadhi for weeks. Then at night, late at night, he would say, he'd sit up, it was just, his fingers were on his chest like this, moving like this. No beads, only fingers. For months, giving water, food, everything. Anything. He sat up and said, she's here. And they couldn't tell. They told me I wasn't there. I heard the next day. He said, didn't know whether she's, he said, he or she. He's here, she's here. Guru Maharaj, who? Gurudev. Ah, no. Ah, like in trance. Mahaprabhu. Ah, no. Krishna. No. Then he said himself, he said, Radha! Then closed his eyes and mouth and went into samadhi again. For some more time. Who can understand the movements of the pure devotees and any devotees? Niha vikramo nasho sti pratyavayo navidyate svapam apyasidamasya chayate mahato vaya. The greatest fear is the fear of death. And worse than the fear of death is the fear of rebirth. Isn't it? We don't know about death. We kind of forgot by the power of Maya. We see it, but we think it'll never happen to us, as you just stated. But we know about birth. We had one. We know if we take another birth, we have to grow up again. And we know what that was all about. So I don't know about the fear of death. Obviously, we have it, I suppose. But I'm more afraid of rebirth and more teachers and more mothers and fathers and homework. Oh. So these verses, he steps aside to give a class now. He's telling, okay, Ras Lila, there it is. A full moon, Krishna's eager, waiting for love, still in all the gopis' minds, but some can't get out. And then they burning in the fire of separation, they give up any least finest little bit of subtle connection with their families. Then the next night he calls and they run out as if nothing ever happened. One day you try to go to Krishna, you can't go. It seems impossible. Next day all the gates are open. When Krishna wants, it happens immediately. Some people want to get a bhajan kutir, or they want to live in Vrindavan, try this way and that way. It's so difficult. And all of a sudden, something happens, green light, everything happens. visas, permission tickets, place to stay, as everyone maybe knows in their own progress. Because running to Vrindavan, taking shelter of Vrindavan, means taking shelter of Krishna. His Dham is Krishna. So I want to live in Vrindavan. It means you want to live with Krishna. When you say, I want to live in Vrindavan, I want to move to Vrindavan, it means you want to be with Krishna. And then when things become more clear and you say, I want to live at Radhakund, then it means you want to be with Krishna, the Krishna of Radha. You want to be with Krishna, but the Krishna of Radha. That Krishna that belongs to Radha. She is his property. If you own something, you possess something, then you can control it. So Radharani, she has mamta. She possesses Krishna's heart. She rules his heart. She is his heart. And his heart expands as Vrindavan to serve her. Vrindavan is the expansion of Krishna's heart. His Sandini Shakti expands as Vrindavan to serve Radha. Just like a man may buy a huge house to serve his wife. He even lives in a little apartment. He's happy. But I know my wife would like this, so he buys. And Krishna's happy sleeping under a cow. But then he makes the whole palace and he makes all Vrindavan. So these verses, we're talking about meditation, we're talking about separation. Dusaha Prishtaviraha. Prishtaviraha, separated from one's dear one, and Dusaha, that intolerable, that one can't bear it or tolerate it. Then what to do? How to respond to that separation? Simply cry and complain? No. Do something positive. Do yoga. And the gopis turn to yoga. It's the middle of a love story, and the gopis turn to yoga. Yoga is a friend. Yoga means a process of linking with whom? With God, the Absolute. And they definitely want to join and link with the Absolute, Krishna. So they do meditation. Dhyana Prapti. Dhyana Prapti, and the fruit of their meditation, Samadhi Siddhi, is Ishvara Pranididhanat. Samadhi Siddhi, the perfection of Samadhi, the fruit of their meditation, Dhyana Samadhi, is they attain Achyuta, who never fails to reciprocate the love of his devotees. Because they're meditating. Achyuta, we can't go to you, but you know we want to go to you. He says, all right, you can't come to me? Forget about meet me halfway. I have an expression in English. I'll meet you halfway. You give half, I'll give half. I'll meet you halfway. You can't come all the way, then I'll come to you. And he said, I'm already there in your heart as Paramatma. I already have a room in your house, like Krishna's house. When Nandabala made Krishna's house, Krishna's house, the palace, there's one bedroom, coincidentally, one bedroom directly behind Krishna's bedroom. And it's always empty, except for 5 days a year. It's a special reserved guest room behind Krishna's bedroom, which is empty for 360 days a year. 5 days a year, one life member lives there. He has a room in Krishna's guest. She has a room in Krishna's guest house. She's a very rich princess. She lives in Barsana. She became a life member. And they gave her one room in the Nanda Baba guest house. Nanda Baba Bhavan. That's Radharani's bedroom is right behind Krishna's bedroom. And Nanda Baba's palace, which is 56 rooms. He's the king. And then when it's Janmashtami, it's not Janmashtami anymore. That was in Gokul. It's his birthday party. It's Janma Utsav. It's not the Janmashtami. It's the Utsav. It's a festival of his birth. When he was 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. And every year there's a birth, honor the birthday and a party. So then Radharani comes and Sridham comes and Vrishabhanu comes and Kirti. And there's room for Kirtita. And Vrishabhanu is the honored guest of the king, Vrishabhanu. He honors the Brajaraj Nanda. And then everybody's happy. They stay together for 5 days. And as you know, if you've ever been to modern hotels, if there's one bedroom, there's another bedroom. They have separate entrance doors. But inside the bedrooms, there's a door linking the two bedrooms. Yes? A a common door, so you can have Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. You can be with your friends or separate. There's two rooms, and you go down the hallway, room 269 and 270. And you go in the door, and you're in 269 and 270. But inside, there's a wall between the two, and there's another door. The common feature of Indian guest houses, apartments. So Krishna's bedroom is like that. There's a door, or maybe it's a bookshelf. It's a bookshelf, and you open it up like those movies, and you go through the bookshelf, and go through some secret passage. Everyone thinks it's a bookshelf. He has all the Puranas there, and Ramayana, and all the spiritual books. Open it up. Where's Krishna? Oh, he's in the Goshala. So this is the situation. So Krishna came to them. So the analogy is that the Sadhana gopis like us, tameva paramatmanam, this is the first line we're discussing, in case you're wondering. Tameva paramatmanam, he's that big Atma, big boy inside, Antaryami. There's Atma paramatma, super soul and super soul, soul and oversoul. The big daddy. We're like the little daddy, and there's a big daddy. Atma paramatma. He's parama. Parama means he's great. Anoraniya, he's Vibhu Chaitanya, we're Anu Chaitanya. So the big is next to the small. He's Vibhu, powerful, supreme. We're Anu, atomic, tiny, next to him. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitanam eko bhunam yodhriyaktikam. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitanam. There's nitya chit. Anu nitya chit. We're eternal, minute particle of consciousness, atomic consciousness, atomic personality. Atomic, a particle of atomic personal consciousness. We have an atomic personality, and sometimes it explodes. Just to make a joke. Our Anu chit, living substance, our atomic personality sometimes blows up like an atom bomb, yes? Hey, Patni, hey, Pati. But then there's Vibhuchit, that unlimited consciousness. So Krishna has a room in everybody's heart, just as Krishna has a room in Vrishabhanu's palace, right behind Radharani's room. And he goes there for five, he's a life member in Vrishabhanu Maharaj's ISKCON. And Krishna bought a room there in Banupur, Banu Bhavan, and he goes 5 days a year on Radharani's birthday with Dao and Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maya to celebrate Radha's Utsav. And it's mutual like this. So Krishna has a room in their heart as Paramatma, Chaturbhuj Narayan, but they're not after him. They're not one to embrace the super soul. They're not Paramatma yogis, Atmaram Chamunios. They're not Atmaram Chamunios yogis. They're gopis in Madhurya Bhava. They want Prema Lingata. They don't want to see the lotus feet of Krishna. They want to hold the lotus feet of Krishna on their breast, their beautiful, soft, and love-filled breast to please him. And they want to dance with Krishna and satisfy him in every possible way. So they can't get out. So they turn to meditation. Jnanam, prapti, achyuta, ashlesha. Ashlesha va parvatam panashtamam. Ashlesha means prem alingita. They realize prapti means that you acquire. If you prapti acquire wealth, then you realize wealth. It's realized you have it. It's with you. So Krishna entered the room of their heart, the Paramatma Kamra, that room in their heart. The Atma's there, Paramatma's there. He entered there, and then he said Paramatma became Achyuta, Dui Bhuj Achyuta with two arms, and he embraced them tightly in their hearts as a Jara, and that Jara, as a Paramore. They were thinking, you're thinking of me, this is your Bhav, this is your Bhavana, this is your Bhavana and your Bhav. This is your idea and your conception and your loving mood. Parakya bhav. That, oh, gopi. Oh, sadhana siddha gopi. You have your pati. you have your husband, but you're parakiya bhav. You're thinking that you, kiya, para, you belong to another, you belong to me. Tave vasmi. Krishna, I am yours. I cannot live without you. Please understand this, my dear Lord Krishna. And show me the tips of your lotus feet. So more than showing them the tips of his lotus feet, he came there. Sri Krishnam, Sri Ganeshamam, Purnananda Kalevaram, Dvibhujam Sarvadevesham, Radha Lingata Vigraham. Very nice pranam prayer to Krishna in the Deity Worship book. Sri Krishna, Sri Ganeshamam, Purnananda Kalevaram, Dvibhujam Sarvadevesham, Radha Lingata Vigraham. Radha Lingata Vigraham. That he embraces the Vigraha with his praying-filled arms. That's Sri Krishna, Sri Ganeshamam, Purnananda Kalevaram. He is the bliss in all bodies. If there's any bliss, it's him. Dvibhujam Savadevesham, with his two arms, he's protecting all the demigods. With his two arms, he has all the power, all the demigods. Dvibhujam Savadevesham. But okay, that's his Aishwarya Gun. He's everywhere as Paramatma, giving bliss to everyone. Any bliss we feel, it's a shadow of Ladini, Sachidananda. It's Indriya Sukh, it's Sukha Bhog. It's just a bhas. It's a dim reflection of the Ananda Chit, the Ananda Chit, that minute potential to relish divine bliss within the heart of the jiva, that Anab Chit. Sachit Ananda. But then the last line of the pranam prayer, Sri Krishna, Sri Ganeshamam. Yes, that Ganesham. But then, oh, that's Ganesham. Ganesham Radhe Radhe, Ganesham Radhe Radhe. Nikunja me viraje, Ganesham Radhe Radhe. Sri Krishna, Sri Ganesham. Then that's his sweetness in Vrindavan, that monsoon cloud, beautiful shimmering roop. But then it's Aishwarya Gun, then finally Madhurya Gun. Radha Lingata Vigraham, that Sham. Madhurya Sham, Madhurya Purushottam Sham. The Parakya lover, the Paramore lover of the Braja Gopis. He was attained here by meditation. Manasi seva, deha seva, man seva, sharir seva. You serve with your hand, with your external hands, or you serve with your internal hands. You serve with your external mouth and eyes. You serve with your internal mouth or eyes. You serve with your external material body, or you serve with your internal mental body. It's seva. It's Krishna seva, prem seva, bhav seva, bhakti seva. It is equal, transcendental. Bhava Grahi Janardhan. And Bhava Grahi Janardhan. That Janardhan is worshipped by all Janas. Janardhana. Everyone's worshipping one way or another. Everyone's following his path and worshipping him. Following Krishna. Following everyone's, the tribals are worshipping power and thunder, the thunder god and the rain god. Everyone's worshipping something supreme, something powerful. A human being with power, the power of beauty. He is worshipped as a movie star. A human being with the power of money, he or she is worshipped as a dhani. Who has the power of money? You're worshipped as a dhani. Someone's big, simonized muscles, polished muscles in a muscle magazine. Some man with so much huge physique, he's worshipped as a human gorilla. A human gorilla is worshipped as strongest man in the world. Or the powerful fighter. The tendency to worship is inherent in the jiva because that's our nature. Worship. We're a unit of worship. Love means worship. If you love someone, you worship your beloved. What is seva? Seva is worship. I serve you. I worship you. You are worshipful. Janardana. Baba Grahi Janardhan, So that Janardhan, who's worshipped by all living entities one way or another, he accepts the bhav, the grahi, saragrahi, the essence. In the mind we're serving, the gopis are doing dhyanam, achuta, dhyanam, prapti. They're just thinking, we can't be there. Oh, it's intolerable. Oh, Sakhi, what to do? I'm burning. Tivra. It says, Tivra. Tivra tap dutashava. I'm burning in this separation. Intensely burning. Tivra tap dutta. And that's destroying anything inauspicious. Anything, whatever, anything I thought was auspicious. I thought it was auspicious to be married in the village. And I thought it was auspicious to wear this Mangala Sutra around my neck. It's called Mangala Sutra. This black string and something that married ladies wear in Hindu culture, Dharmic culture. I thought it was auspicious and proper to take care of the cows and my husband. That's all burned up now. I just want to meditate. I must do something. Oh, let's think of our beloved. Thinking of the beloved. Meditation is natural for lovers. You don't have to go to a school. You don't have to go to a yoga school to learn meditation. That meditation you can do lying down, sitting in Padmasana, or sitting in Siddhasana, lying down, driving the car. Anywhere, your mind will run to the beloved. And as I said, there's nothing more absorbing for the mind. All of a sudden, all the thousands and thousands of wayward thoughts and millions of manovrittis and vikshepas become canceled when one meditates on their beloved. If anyone's really loved. Such powerful one-pointed meditation. So they had that power. There was some distraction in their life. That was the ashubha. Ashubha. Dut ashubha. It was destroyed by the meditation. They fixed their beloved in their mind and everything was lost. They severed and cut their connection with any kind of subtleties of dharma, responsibilities and worry about dharma. This Patni Dharma and Street Dharma and Laja Dharma and Varna Dharma and Ashram Dharma and husbands and cakes in the oven and milk boiling on the stove and feeding the babies and this and that and the cows, milking the cows, half done, this, that. Krishna came. And he's telling, listen, Parikshit, everyone, listen to this. This is his discourse. He told what happened. They embraced the meditation. And then he steps back and says, see, look, they had an illicit affair with God. They're the greatest yogis. He said that he came there. He said, Tamay Vipanamatmanam. Vishnu Chakravarti says, this word, he comments extensively on Paramatmanam. Chameva Paramatmanam. Paramatma, everyone knows Paramatma. So it's very humorous. The gopis were Paramatma yogis. They were Paramatma Paramore yogis. Paramatma, the gopis were Paramatma Paramore yogis. Paramore means an illicit lover, Paramore, Parakya. The word is Jara, Jara, Jara. I mean, it's translated here as paramour, buddhi. They are meditating on Paramatma. Yes, the Paramatma is our illicit lover. Does any yogi think like that? He thinks Ishvara Parama Krishna, that Vishnu? He's meditating on Chaturbhuj Narayan. That's his meditation, the Paramatma yogi. Be Mayavadi, Dvaitin or Dvaitin. He's meditating on Paramatma to realize the Brahman beyond the Paramatma. Where he's meditating on Paramatma as a Vaishnava yogi, that he is God. But it's Chaturbhuj Narayan meditating on his lotus feet. Svai Mana Krishna Padaravindayor. Like Ambarish. But the gopis, hey Paramatma, you are a lover. You're a paramour. That's quite unusual. Paramatma paramour dhyanam. Something extraordinary. Paramore dhyanam, to meditate like this. So he said, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, he says that this Paramatma, who is this Krishna? Krishna's Sarvavatari, Krishna's two, Bhagavan, Swayam, Purushavatars, or within Krishna, Dasavatar, within Krishna. Ananta Rupam, Ananta avatars within Krishna, lakhs and lakhs of avatars are all inside Krishna. Prabhupada once said he was walking on the beach in Santa Monica, Los Angeles, and he said, see all these waves ceaselessly coming, wave after wave, taranga, taranga, taranga. Never stopping, one wave comes, another wave comes. The ocean never says, oh. Vruna tells his wife one day, oh, listen, Padmini, I'm really tired of making all these waves. Vrunadeva is the god of the ocean. So let's go on a vacation. Let's go to the Mediterranean. I'm tired of making all these waves. He never goes on vacation, wave after wave, day and night. Prabhupada pointed with his cane and he said, you see all these waves. Can you count those waves? That's how many incarnations there are of Krishna. That's how many incarnations there are of Krishna. As many incarnations as there are descents, the descents of the Lord, as there are waves on the ocean. Unlimited, ananta. Paramatma is there in everyone's heart, but Krishna can manifest from Paramatma. The room is there in the heart. If you have a room in your house, anyone can come and manifest there and stay there. So the Paramatma, the room called the Paramatma guest room, Krishna enters there and became Achyuta, that infallible lover. Oh, you love me as a paramour? I won't fail to reciprocate with you as a paramour. Yayatama prapadante. Tam sthava bhajamyam. So he came there and loved him as a paramour. So now, he gives a very nice comment. I'd just rather read it. And the word paramatma, he says paramatmanam, in its first line, means Krishna who possesses the parama prem. Rasik janas. rasik vaisha means rasik buddhi, rasik vichar. Their intelligence and their consideration or understanding of things is rasika bhuvaka, full of bhav and rasa. So he says, paramatma, okay. You say paramatma means the super soul, the oversoul. But I have a different view of that. He says, because the verse says that they attained, it says that tam eva paramatmanam. That although Sri Krishna is the supreme soul, so he says, jara budyapi sangata, they attained him as their lover. He says, actually, paramatmana means he who possesses the highest parama prem. The gopis directly achieved samyak gata, the supreme goal of prem, paramatma, by thinking of Krishna as their illicit lover, jarabudhya, samgata. The gopis realized Krishna in even a fuller sense. They realized Krishna even more than Rukmini and his other queens in Dwarka, whose thought Rukmini, Satyabhama, Mitravinda, Kalindi, Satyam, Jambavati, they thought of Krishna most respectfully as their husband. An unpredictable, this is a very interesting phrase, an unpredictable excellence of prema is manifest by thinking of Krishna as a paramour instead of a husband. An unpredictable excellence of prema is manifest by thinking of Krishna as your paramour instead of as your husband, like Rukmini and Satyabhama. It's excellent. It's super excellent. It's wonderful. It's so much excitement and variety. And it's unpredictable. Will you meet the beloved, your lover? Will you not? When you meet them, will they be favorable to you or will they not be? Will they be in mana? You came here. I don't want to see you. Go, take your face away from here. You dirt. You lungpot. You kapat. Ah. I don't want to see anything black. I don't want to see the night. I don't want to see my kajal. Oh, Radharani, here's a mirror. Put on kajal. No, break that mirror. Destroy the night. And tell Shamala Sakhi never to come here. That's her friend, Shamala. I don't like that name. her name is Shyamala, I don't want to see her. And throw away anything Nilambara, throw away all this blue cloth, and let loose my pet black deer. And talk to Chandradev that there should be no Amavasya. Amavasya should be eliminated. Only Purnima and Pratipada Ekam Dvitiya Tritiya. No Amavas. Nothing black. Unfavorable mood, contrary mood of Radha. What did I do? This is a Hoituki Mon. There's no cause. I'm innocent. See, look. There's only a few kisses here and there. Only a few kisses on my cheeks. I'm innocent. And a few scratch marks. What's this? It's expected. I expected it. So this is the gopis. This is an unpredictable excellence of prema is manifest by thinking of Krishna as your paramour, parakiya bhava par excellence. Like Rukmini, she's always at home and she's always at serving the dinner and she's always fanning with the chamara and she always smiles. This is predictable love, not excellent. If there's unpredictable, excellent prem, there's predictable, not so ordinary, there's predictable, ordinary prem. It's predictable. And there's unpredictable, excellent frame. And this is shown in the words of Buddha. That verse is there. Do you know that verse? It's in Brahmar Gita. Asammaho charna renu jusham maham syam brindavane kim apigumalato shadinam. You can chant it like Brahma Samhita also. Asammaho-charana-renu-jusham-maham-syam Vrindavane-kim-api-gulma-lato-shadinam Yadustyajam Yadustyaja Dustyaja Yadustyajam svajanam aryapatam chahitva Bejor-mukunda-paravim-shutubir-vimrigyam Bejor-mukunda-paravim Shrutabir Vimrigyam. The Shrutis are totally bewildered in their search for this Krishna. Uddhava prayed, oh, gopis, just see the Braja gopis. They have given everything that is difficult to renounce, children, family, and the path of chastity. They've given it all up. They've taken shelter of the path of Prema Bhakti to Sri Krishna. Mukunda bhajan. Bejor means bhajan. Bejor mukundam. Mukunda paravim. They took to the path of worshipping Mukundapad. Doing bhajan to the feet of offering their very life, their bodies, their hearts, everything to the feet of Mukunda. This is the goal. This Braja praying, this gopi praying, this is searched for by all the Shrutis. Shruti bir vimrigyam. You've heard of the Shrutichari gopis. So the Shrutis were searching thousands and thousands of lifetimes from Treta Yuga to Dwapara Yuga, the end when they finally took birth in Bhoma Vrindavan, in the wombs of gopis. Thousands of lifetimes they're searching where for this gopi prem, had to have that sense of detachment. Searched for but rarely attained by the Shrutis. Even we're reading about some Shrutis that they couldn't get out that night, the sadness of the gopis. My prayer, said Uddhava Mahashaya Haridas Varya, is that I may take birth in Vrindavan as a bush, a lata, a malati lata, or a blade of grass. You're sitting on Uddhava. Be a little respectful. A blade of grass in Sri Vrindavan. And thus, by this lowly, humble position in Vrindavan, I will attain the foot dust of the feet of these gopis that are the greatest tyagis. The greatest tyagis. Because it's easy to control your senses and run to a cave in Haridwar. Very easy. But will you give up your name as the Falahara Yogi? He's a Falahara Baba. I am Falahara Yogi. I only eat fruits. Whatever. They gave up their name, you know, Pratishta. You can control your senses. That's easy for a yogi, a sattvic person. Controlling Vatra Vegam, Manasakota Vegam, Jiva Vedam, Udrapashta Vegam. He controls all the Vegams, all the pushings. He's celibate, and yogi, and jogi. No Stri Sangha, no Bhog, but Pratishta. Honor, distinction. We must bathe first at Kumbh Mela. We are the Naga Babas. If anybody gets in our way, we'll start a fight and kill them. It's happened. Someone tries to bathe before them in the Triveni, they kill them. There's a riot. It's in the paper. Naga Babas killed three people. You've never seen. That's right. I went to Kumbh Mela 89, 95. I was there for a month. Naga Babas are naked. Nagna, I think. You never read. Very ferocious. They have a whole hierarchy. Who gets to take the first bath? We get to take the first bath. It's the same Triveni. Amazing, but true. They have not. They have. They're Digambara. They're yogis, nagnas, pratishta. They have nothing, but they have everything. That's why Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. Already they're naked before Krishna. The Krishna stole the real covering is not the clothing, it's the subtle body. And they were attached, they weren't attached to their clothes, they already threw their clothes off before they even bathed. They weren't attached to their clothes, they already Digambara when they entered the water. They already Nagna Babas when they entered the Bhajinis, whatever. Babajinis. The Vrajakumaris, they were already Nagna when they bathed in Katyani Brat. They were naked, yes, they were Digambara. Digambara, dig directions covered. I just threw them out. Yeah. So they were stark naked. And they were oblivious to the freezing cold. They were laughing and joking with each other. It's freezing cold in December. Try bathing Yamuna before sunrise, see how you feel. Then you just jump in and jump out, go in their car and turn on the electric heater. First they went down. First they bathed, and once they were clean, then they made a deity of Katyayani out of sand. Then they had to collect fruits and everything fresh from the banks and bring flowers. They bought some flowers in baskets from the royal garden, Radha Bagicha, anywhere they picked snitch flowers from. Like Hare Krishna is going around snitching flowers. And then they did their puja. It's shivering cold and freezing. So Krishna, they already gave up their clothes, but he took those clothes and put them on their shoulders and said, now come before me, because they were hiding. We have no clothes. We're already naked. You can see a naked woman in the water. There's nothing. Krishna wasn't eager to see their naked bodies. He could already see it. You're sitting in a tree 30 feet above a lake, and you can look in the water. It's crystal clear. It's not polluted water. And you can see their naked bodies. So when they came out, then he had over his arm. What did he have over his arm? Their man, buddhi, hankar, yeah? Whatever. And any subtle body he had over their arm. They came back and they saw, and it's so colorful. There's all purple, lilac, different pink, different colors here. And then, because that's different colors of Bob, he wanted them all to manifest different shades of love, colors of love. So he calls them forward. He says, come, take your clothes, and don't everyone come at once, you make it confused. This is Ananda Vrindava Champa. Don't all gang up on me, come one by one. Because I want each of you to take your purified subtle body back. Now you're mine. When we give our mind to Krishna and our hankar to Krishna and our intelligence to Krishna, then we're his. Until that, we're covered. So many coverings. There's so many meanings to the pastime. So these simple coward damsels of Brajabhumi, they're the greatest tyagi yogis because they gave up pratishta. Their family name. Name means pratishta. I'm a yogi. I bathe first. I'm a Falahara Bhava. I'm a city yogi. Yadustijam swajanam aryapatam chahitva. This is the thing. That they gave up everything. Their families, the aryapat means their pride. There's a pride in being a yogi. They're proud to be a yogi. They don't have this idea of servant of the servant of the servant. They have certain master bhav. They have certain Ishvara bhav yogis. They don't have this dhanya bhav of a bhakta. They have some power, and there's some pride emanating from most every yogi I've ever met. You can feel it. And they have various attainments and qualities to make them proud. So do Vaishnavas. They have Krishna in their heart. But they're humble, the most humble, respectful entities on the planet. They worship the ant. They feed prasadam to the ant, the chanti. They're his god brothers. The bird, the plants, the trees, the pulari, we're all equal. They're serving Krishna, I'm serving Krishna. I'm a Guleri, you're Hanuman. You're serving Ram, I'm serving Ram. And Krishna's eyes, they're all equal. To the lover, to Krishna's eyes of love, he sees his lovers everywhere and he treats them all equally. Whatever his lovers want, he gives them. Everyone, every jiva is a lover of Krishna. Every jiva is an object of his. Every single jiva is a recipient of Krishna's love, an object of Krishna's love. And he's receiving that love from Krishna according to his desire. In true love, whatever the lover wants, then the beloved provides. This anything, their own bodies, their minds, their hearts, their money, anything for the beloved. So Krishna, you want Maya? Take Maya. She's yours. You want me? And fully, Maya will check. Do you really want me, or you want pratishtha, position? And then, if you don't want anything but Krishna's love, and say, I want to give you my love fully and purely. My love is pure, Nirmal. Is yours? I'm ready to give my pure love. Are you ready to receive pure love? Or you want a little pure love? And you want some of my benediction of my pure touch? You want a touch of my pure love as a benediction, as a blessing in your life, as a godsend? But you want to enjoy on the side, a little moonlighting on the side? Then it's not a pure loving reciprocation. It's business. So Vishnu Chakravarti, he cites this verse. In the words of Uddhava, Yadustijam Sajanam Aryapatam Chahitva. Though the gopis abandoned their families in the path of proper conduct, which is very difficult to do, they worship Krishna, who is sought by the Vedas. Krishna, the Shrutis are running after Krishna. And they follow so many rules and regulations. In Braja Leela, this is a very interesting point. In Braja Leela, we see that Sringar Ras, erotic love, paramour love, which is socially unacceptable attitude of loving a paramour. And today, as in yesterday, to have an illicit lover is frowned upon, even in the loose modern age. It's not, although it's quite common in these major cities of the world where people are so much brainwashed and controlled by Kali, to have this type of illicit love, a wife or husband, and run around with some other man or woman. Far more love is more and more common. But even today, as it was then, it's socially unacceptable attitude. So in Braj, we see that something that's very low becomes worshipped and accepted and honored as something very high. A very lowly person who is sweeping the streets, a bhangi, who's bent over, bhanga, bent over, he's a bhangi. But he's a bhangi, but so is God. A bhangi is only bent over in one place. Bhangi means a street sweeper bending down to sweep the streets. Because they have short brooms in India. In the West, they have long brooms, so there's no bhangis. They're stand-uppies. They're not bhangis. They have a long 7-foot-long handle, and they stand there like this. You see pictures in Moscow of people sweeping the street. They're just standing very proud and very tall. sweeping the streets with a long broom. But here they have a very short broom. Trinadapi suniche na turoreva. And they have to bend over. So they're bangi. And they're considered filthy, dirty, chamar bangi, low class. But God is not bent in one place. He's even worse. He's bent in three places. Tribangi. Tribangi lalitam niyataprakasham. Tribangi lalitam niyataprakasham shamasandaram. Manmata manmata sham. He's bent in three places. He bends down to, and his body bends to lift up our body. His mind bends to lift up our mind, and his heart bends to lift up our hearts. This is Tribangi. Three bends. His body bends in one place to lift up our bodies from Maya, from the gutter of Maya. His mind bends to turn our thoughts to him. He speaks to us as Shiksha, Gita, and Bhagavad. And his heart bends to lift our heart out of mundane love and place it fully on him. This is Tribangi. Krishna is giving his heart and body and everything, mind. If you think of Krishna, he thinks of us. If you love Krishna, he loves us. There's Hanuman's monkey there. It says wherever Ram Katha is spoken, Hanuman comes. You see, this is a special one. Very rare to see. All the way back, you see? That gray one? Very rare. First time I've ever seen the Hanuman monkey. Sham, he has a Sham Mukh. He brings out this point that something, in other words, the discussion is something that's considered very low. In Braj, it's very high. So the bungi is very low. He's sweeping the streets, to follow this analogy. He's very low. He's considered untouchable. If you touch one, you have to take a bath. But then Jagannath Das Babaji, Siddha Jagannath Das Babaji, who's a Brahmin by birth, and a great Siddha Mahatma, Jagannath Das Babaji, he came to Braj Mandal, did bhajan here for some time, then returned to Navadvip Mandal. And when he was here, one day he went to the bungi. He went to their house. I want roti. You give me some roti? He said, yes, they gave roti. He's Baba doing Madhukari. Madhukari, the bungi's house. The Babaji's usually do it Brahmin's house, Madhukari. We discussed before. It's in his biography, Charita. And then he took with great relish and happiness. And later in the Vaishnava Samaj, there was some rumor. You know how fast rumors are. Did you hear so-and-so did this? Huh? Everywhere going like lightning, like wildfire. So that was in the midday, 10:30, 11 in the morning. And by sunset, all the sadhus were talking. Jagannath Das Babaji took roti from Bangi. Kya kare? Kya hua? Kya hua? What happened? So they went to meet him in his kuti. He said, Baba, there's a lot of people talking about you. You know. So they had some... inquisitiveness, and he said, I know your minds are disturbed, but actually, Uddhava, Narada Muni, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they are aspiring to become a particle of dust in Vrindavan. They want to take a birth as a rock. Brahma says, I have these four heads, they're like rock heads. I have this expression, you're like rockhead, blockhead, stupid. These foreheads, they're useless. Let them just turn into Parva. Let these foreheads become four mountains to serve Krishna and Radha and Vrindavan. So be it. Tatastu. Providence granted his wish, his sankalp. And his foreheads became Rishabhanupur, Mangar, Dankar, Vilaskar, and Radha's palace. The four mountains, Char Parvatis and Brahma. And Shiva said, what is this? Mount Kailash and all this Tyag. It's useless. Better I just become a rock to serve Krishna. He became a hill, Nandishwar. Nandishwar Hill for Nanda Baba. Then he went to visit Nandalal and Yashoda said, oh, get out, you'll scare my boy. He couldn't even visit her. He went there, huh? There's some tantric yogi? You put some spell on my son? He was crying. And Shiva went to take darshan. This Leela is there, Asheshwar Mahadev. Mandir is there. One Shila, Asheshwar Mahadev in Nandagam. He gave up his whole form to become the foundation for the palace of Nanda Baba. And then when he came in his rupa as Shiv, Mahadevi, he was denied darshan by Mother Yashoda. She you frightened my boy. It's like a horror movie, a monster movie. Cobras and skulls around your neck, skulls and trident, deer, this tiger skin, and ashes all over your body, fearsome form. My boy will cry for nights and days. He was already crying, actually. So the lowly thing becomes a high thing. Because he said, Jagannath Das, Babaji told everyone, we all want to become the dust of Vrindavan. And have that, we worship the dust. We want that dust on our fire. We want to die in the dust. We want to lie in the dust. We want to roll in the dust. Lutan, Vrajaraj, Lutan, roll in the Vrajaraj. One particle of dust can fulfill all of our desires. It's Chintamani. Chintamani. Our chinta, whatever, this is a gem, whatever our thinking is, whatever we desire. Sparshamani is nothing. Sparshamani, you touch Sparshamani, then this becomes gold. This loha becomes gold. Sparshamani. But this is Chintamani. Chintamani prakarasad mashakapa briksha. Lakshavriteshu suravira vipalyantam. This is Chintamani. We're sitting just one particle of dust. Oh, I want gold. Okay, get gold. I want name and fame. Okay, I want to be a big pracharak. I want to be a Sankeet Visharada. Okay, take it. I want to be world famous Bhagavat Saptahawala. Okay, take it. Whatever you want, this whatever thinking, whatever your thought is, this gem of money, this Brajraj will give. So this is the power of the dust. And they're in it all day. The bungies are sweeping, they're breathing it. They're made of it. They're inside. When they're rolling chapatis, their dough is full of dust. And then how they're rolling the dough, and the dust is falling off their head into the dough. The dust is all in their house, everywhere. Braja Raj. And then you eat. Ah, Anand. Bliss, Braja Prem. Braja Prem is in the dust. So he showed even in Braj a lowly thing, a socially unacceptable lowly thing, be food from the hand of a bunny as a Brahmin 500 years ago. Totally unacceptable. You lose your caste by that, and you become cast out. This is the power of Braj. So, Paramore Parakiya love is, you Paramore, disgraceful. Vaishya, Vaishya. Is it Vaishya? Hindi for prostitute, that is Vaishya. You Vaishya. Prostitute, cheating on your husband, cheating on your wife, despicable. I don't want to see her face. If I see her face, I jump in the Jamuna. This is a situation. But in Braj, it becomes so honorable. In Braj, we see that a normally low thing like this becomes superior to the loving exchanges between legitimate spouses. It means legally married man and woman. In the same way, some other all lowly things, a lowly thing like decorations of gunjaberry necklaces and red dirt oxide from the ground and peacock feathers are superior to the most valuable jeweled ornaments. In Braj, Krishna doesn't care about emeralds and diamonds and pearls and rubies. Nothing. The peacocks flip their tail and offer me a punch, a moor punk from their punch, from their tail. Moor punk means a peacock feather. More punk. And I say, oh, it's such a beautiful offering. I have some chuta money. What is it called? Shira chuta. This top knot. I have this top knot of hair. And my mother Yashoda put some pearls around there because, you know, I'm a prince and all that. And so there's some moti mala around. That's around. But this more punk, this is given by the peacock. I'm going to put that on the very top of my moor punk and let everyone see. This is my topmost jewel. This is my topmost avaran, my moor punk, my peacock feather. And then after that, pearls and whatever else. But then my Sakhi, my Radhaji, she went to this one lata, like bush. And all the mandris collected so many of these poison berries, dry little seeds, gunja, red and black or white. If you take one, you'll die. They're poisonous. They have no value. Really? And they string a necklace. Yes, Krishna is a very poisonous person. And they're stringing. You have to string them when they're soft. I mean, when they're fresh, otherwise. And then when you're stringing this gunja mala, if you pinch your finger with the needle, the juice from the gunja mala will infect your finger and it'll burn for days. Very poisonous. If you wait till they're dry, you can't pierce it. You have to pick them fresh and be very careful. They're very tiny, and then you string them. So they make, oh, Nandala, oh, Priyatam, and then, oh, this is beautiful. Krishna wears. He pushes aside. Oh, I have these diamond necklaces. Look at this. Look at this Gunjamala. So nice. Oh, Sham, come, sit down. Come. Your mother didn't do a nice job. We have some. We decorate you nice. I have some red. I have some garik here, garika. Some red paste, some red dirt from Govardhan. And I have some gorochan, some ointment. Color green, yellow from the cow, and I have some kalamiti and some pilamiti, and I'm mixing with water. Many nice colors I have, and I'll paint your face very nice. I'm going to paint dirt on your face. We can put dirt on God's face in Vrindavan. You think that Lakshmi and Vaikuntha can say, sit down, Narayana, I'm going to put some dirt on your face. I'm going to decorate your face with some dirt. Not possible. A lowly thing like kalamiti or pilamiti or garika, this red rock, they make this rock dye for the sannyasi, saffron rum, or this red rum. Becomes the highest thing is on the face, Krishnamukh, abaran. Like gopidats. Not only that, sometimes the gopis, they put cow dung, bindi on Krishna's face. Is that lila? Once the Krishna was out behind the cow, taking the cows out. And somewhere wandering near Barsana as usual. He always seems to take the cows out, the Govardhan or Barsana or in the Yavat side somewhere for some odd reason. And then Radharani told Kirtida, her mother in Barsana, or Jatila, her mother-in-law, well, we have to go out and collect some gober. We have to collect some gober. Look, so many cows are going there. We're going to go and get some gober for cooking and all these things. Oh, yes, you go. You collect many patties. Because Jatila is very greedy. Every day she counts how many, her stash of cow patties. Every day she has so many stacks. Each stack is 350. And she says, oh, I got one stack. You know, they're like this, one stack. And then they go, there's about 350 in one stack. So she has 350. Oh, 6,300. And she always wants more. She wants more. More cow dung patties. She's very happy with that. So then the gopis say, we're going to collect so many. So then they run. And they run because Krishna has the cows and the cows have the gober. And then Krishna doesn't, he just plays the flute and eats fruits and plays around. He doesn't deal with that. That's not his area of marketing. So then the gopis come and say, oh, Sham, can we collect this? Yeah, help yourself. Take as much as you want. So then they first they have to collect it and put it in a parat. And a parat means a big bowl. Collect it all, then you carry it and mix it with bhusa and straw. And it's like preparation. You have to gather and collect it, then put it on your head. So they were gathering, and then they had this parat, this pot or bowl full of gober, and very heavy. Weighs like 30 kilos. Oh, Sham, we can't pick it up. Will you help us? So then he said, yeah. So the one gopi got on one side, and Krishna, they bent down and went like this. They lifted it up, and then the gopi came forward towards Krishna, went like that, and Krishna let go. Then the gopi said, all right, now listen, I want to keep track of how many, you know, because Radharani asked who can get the most. Whoever gets the most parrot, who brings the most, then gets some prize from Radharani. Maybe Tambo, whatever, I don't know. So I want to keep track. So then she went like this. She went like this, and she got mixed up a little. The gober made it a little moistened because it's fresh. And she went on Krishna's face. Boink. And she put one gober bindu on Krishna's face. Okay, one pot. And then she went away, and then she, another sucky's there, and put it down. And then she ran back and collected more. It was like a game. Krishna and the cowherd boys play games. You think the gobies just stood out? They also play games. You see these cowherd girls, they play so many games. They're jumping rope and they're playing this, that, these things. You go like this and go like that and that and take that and then you go. And you go. You know, they all do all these games. So they're playing. They're playful. Kailana. So then they want to see who can get the most parat. And Radharani says, come, everyone go. Hurry up. Okay, collect it all. So then Krishna, he's God. And then he's got dirt on his face. He's wearing poison, mala, gunja. Now the gopis come and put gober dots on his face. She comes and puts one, two, three. I've collected three pots. Because Krishna's a Shakshi. Upadashantamantaja. He's a Shakshi. He's a witness. So if any gopi says, how many pots do you collect? Oh, I collected five pots. Oh, what's the proof? Now look at Shyam's face. One, two, three, four, five. There's five bindus. I collected five pots of gober. You see, this is evidence. Krishna's face is Mukhya Praman. Mukha Praman. There's Mukhya, chief evidence, or Muk Praman. This is the evidence. Praman means evidence, the proof. The proof is in his face, on his Mukha. Mukhya Praman means chief, primary evidence. So then Krishna's not so smart. No lover wants to be used by another lover, right? So then Krishna puts one bindu or two bindu, the gopis, and then they run away. And then when they run away, Krishna says, what is this? Wipes it off. And then the gopi comes back, and she puts them, she goes, hey, wait a minute. I collected two, and now you're saying, hey, what happened? Didn't I collect any? Krishna said, you didn't collect any. So he's saying that this is a lowly thing, but it becomes so honored. It's glorified in the pages of the Bhagavatam. And Shukadeva Goswami is telling this. Now, mind you, it's not an audience of one. It's not a private lecture given on some chat line. This lecture, this discussion of the 7 days Bhagavad Gita of Shukadeva to Parikshit, he was with many within that audience. There was literally Vyasadeva's father was there. Narada Muni was there. There were so many great rishis, Chavana Rishi, so long list of rishis and munis were all there in the audience. If Krishna is your paramour, it's glorious. If anybody else is your paramour, it's inglorious and punishable. It's a criminal offense. Punishable by Yamaraj. You may escape the local authorities, the Delhi police force, or the local pandas or whatever, but you won't escape Yamaraj. There's so many beautiful hells described in Manu Samhita and other Puranas about the paramour lover. Not very exciting proposal. So now he discusses the next line. Jahur guna maya deya. This is the very significant line. Jara budyapi ti jara. Jara budyapi sangata. Jahur gunamayam deham. They gave up, this line he discusses, they gave up their material bodies. It appears that. Jahur means that they gave up. They thought of Krishna. Because some of the external understanding of the verse is that the gopis were burning tivra tap and all their ashubha, all their negative bad karma was destroyed, because bad karma means suffering. Bad karma means suffering. So now in their separation from Krishna, tivra tap, they suffered. It was intolerable suffering. So they were suffering, and the cause of their suffering was not really their karma. But if you take the external, yes, they were suffering because of their karma. So that suffering that they experienced in separation from Krishna, Krishna brought that suffering, but that suffering eliminated all the suffering that they would that suffering and separation from Krishna eliminated all the suffering that they should have endured as non-devotees of bad karma. All right? Then the next line is, this is back to verse 10, that in realizing Krishna's embrace, because good karma brings us happiness. Everyone understands this. So good karma brings us happiness. So all their bad material karma was eliminated by suffering, not the results of their karma, by suffering and separation from Krishna. And then they're also, because karma is there, they're also supposed to enjoy the good results, the happiness of their good karma, which brings happiness. So, but the happiness that they were due from their good karma, it says, Dhyana Prapti Achuta Shlesha Nivritta Shina Mangala. The phrase here is Shina Mangala. Mangala means all the good karma and happiness that they were supposed to enjoy from their good karma was destroyed because they experienced the superior paramdrishta happiness of the nirvana. Nivritya means the supreme happiness and joy they experienced by embracing achyuta in their meditation. So karma brings us material happiness and distress. But because they were totally fixed on Krishna, then Krishna brought them distress in the form of separation from Krishna. And the material happiness they were supposed to get was nullified by the superior happiness they got by Krishna experiencing Krishna. This is the external view. But Vishnu says that all happens in Bhajana Kriya. All the Parabdha karma is destroyed in Bhajana Kriya by Bhajan way before he gets to Surab City and enter Bhoma Vrindavan. So it's just their suffering and separate. One Radharani is burning in separation. She has no karma. And she experiences the joy of Krishna and Spurti. She sees thousands of Krishna around her. That's a spiritual suffering and a spiritual enjoyment. It has nothing to do with karma. It's the internal meaning. So then he comments on this Gunamaya Deya. Then he gets very nice comments here. We can read also. His insight is very good. It says here, and it's Tika, it's in the Sarta Darshini Tikas. Some authorities, some commentators, there's 81 different Tikas on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Some commentators say that by the power of Yoga Maya, the gopis' bodies disappeared in a way that no one noticed. And in other words, other acharyas, because there's many viewpoints, as you know, the different ideas of the Atma also there. You know, there are so many different viewpoints of these transcendental subjects. So we follow our own sajati, and that's our viewpoint. Others, commentators say that the body, quote unquote, the body referred to in this context of Guna Maya Deham in verse number 11, is that they gave up the material bodies which their husbands had enjoyed. So then, what he's talking about, Vishnu, is the twofold bodies, one material body and one spiritual body. They gave up that body, but their spiritual bodies were still there and they went to Krishna. Then he steps back from the Adi Daivik Vichar of discussing the gopis and their relationship with Krishna on the transcendental plane and how they're entering that plane and entering the rasa dance and transcending their whatever material influence of some sort may be there. Then he comes down to the Adiatmik Vichar of the actual sadhaka. As the sadhana siddha gopis in Bhoma Vrindavan had twofold bodies, there were bodies functioning with their so-called material husbands, but then their body of love, their bhav deha, their siddha deha, their sarup siddhi, functioning with Krishna and hankering and meditating. Achyuta dhyanam, prapti ashlesha. And he says, similarly, devotees like us, sadhakas, that are practicing, When devotees practice bhakti under the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, they engage their ears and other senses in activities of pure bhakti. How? By hearing and chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, offering obeisances, and personally serving his deity form. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, and Archanam. Offering obeisances is Padasevanam. Thus, the devotees make Krishna's transcendental qualities the objects of their senses. So we try to engage all of our senses in the service of Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Yuchate. We don't maintain connection with anything, Nirbandha, because we yukta, we connect everything to Krishna Sambandha, based on our Sambandha with Krishna, our relationship with Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha. It's no bandha. We have no connection with anything in this world. Ishavasya medam sarvam yat kinchit jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjita madhyasya madriha kasya sudanam. Everything belongs to him, Ishvara. It's all his property. We have no connection or ownership or control. He's the controller, the owner, the creator. Nirbandha Krishna sambandha. But we connect everything to Krishna. Yukta vairagya yuchate. So in this bhakti, we're the ultimate vairagis because we yukta, we connect everything. Everything belongs to Krishna and we offer it to him. Everything we see with our eyes, with our sense of our eyes, we offer to Krishna. Everything we could possibly smell with our noses in this environment, we offer to Krishna. Everything we could touch in this environment, we offer it to Krishna. Everything we can taste in this environment before us in this world, it belongs to Krishna. It's created to Krishna, we offer to Krishna. So that Vishnu says there's twofold bodies. Our one body is our spiritual body, Krishnara, the Krishna Sarup. What is it? Krishnara Sarup. Krishnara Sarup. Jivara Sarup. Our Jiva Sarup is Krishna Das. So our Sarup has spiritual indriya, spiritual senses, and they're all engaged in the service of Krishna. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uttama. Rishika, Rishikesha Sevanam. Rishika means the senses. And Rishikesha means the Lord, possessor, controller, creator of the senses. Sevanam, Rishika Sevanam. So this is one body we have, our spiritual functioning body. But then he says there's another body. So the sadhak has twofold bodies, as the sadhana siddha gopis had twofold bodies. One functioning, milking the cows, feeding their husbands, cooking cakes in the stove, boiling water, and dressing and serving their husbands or lying in bed with their husbands or taking care of their children or their relative children or whatever. But then there's their whole other body, meditating on Krishna, being called by Krishna for the rasa dance to come and serve Krishna, hear about Krishna, chant with Krishna, dance with Krishna, remember Krishna. Similarly, sometimes the devotees take as their sense objects mundane sounds, material tastes, etc., and that is material. Thus, a devotee's body can also have two aspects, transcendental, nirgun, and material, gunamayam. So when the sadhana siddha gopis in Srup Siddhi, in their Siddhadeya, in Bhavan Vrindavan, when Krishna was the complete object of their senses, then that was their nirgun body, nirgun, no gunas. But when they turn their eyes towards their husbands or towards any of this Aryapatam, the Aryapat, their swajana, their relatives, their family members, mother-in-law, etc., then they had gunamaya deha. So jahur gunamaya deham, jahur gunamaya deha means that body, they gave up that fold, that aspect, and fully existed in a nirgun body, which means no material qualities and no material contamination, but only Krishna gun. Nirgun for the devotee doesn't mean nirgun, nirrupam, nirgunam, but it means no material qualities, but Krishna gunam. Krishna, our objects of our senses, we have senses, spiritual senses, and the objects are Krishna. Krishna gun, namrup gun lila. So this is the point, and he goes on with this. According to one's level of devotional service, to that degree, the transcendental aspects of one's body become prominent and the material aspects diminish. So these sadhana gopis that couldn't get out, their nirguna siddhadeyas were 98% developed, just some material influence, it said. But ours, our gunamaya deya is 98%. Our nirguna siddhadeya is maybe 2%. Our seva deha, based on pure seva bhav, guru bhakti and Vaishnava bhakti, Krishna bhakti, that is very less. According to one's level of bhakti, to that degree, the transcendental aspects of one's body become prominent and the material aspects diminish. This transformation from one level to the other is described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 2, verse 42. Bhakti Paresh Anubhav. Bhakti Paresh, the Anubhava Bhakti. Bhakti Paresh Anubhava Viraktir Anyatra Chesha Trika Eka Kala. Prapadyamanasya Yatashnathasus Tushti Pushti Shud Apayo Nugasam. These are the three. Tushti Pushti Shud Apayo Nugasam. Then there's an analogy. As we progress, then we experience Tushti Pushti, satisfaction, nourishment, and freedom from impulse or the distraction of senses. Here's the analogy. With each bite of food, hungry person sits, he's hungry. He hasn't eaten, and he sits down to eat. With each bite of food, if you're hungry, you first start eating, you're eating very fast. And as you start to fill up, your hand starts coming slower. No, yes, yes, no. And then someone says, "You want more? I'll take more." Oh. And finally, yeah. I'm full. Akantapurya. Vaishnav Savada. Akantapura. I'm full up to my neck. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotees, he would put as much prasadam on their tali or their pata, their leaf plate, as five men could eat. Sounds good during Kartik prep, yes? When everyone's eating once a day or half a chickpea every other day or whatever you're eating. Some devotees are doing like that. Okay? So then, tong, a 7-foot man doesn't have a hand like some little girl, you know? He's 7 feet tall. He has very beautiful, auspicious hands. He would serve as much food as five men could eat. And the devotees would eat it all. Jai Ho, Mahaprasad, Mahaprabhu Prasad from his lotus hands. So with every bite of food a person takes, three things happen simultaneously. They're actually happening one after another, but it appears simultaneously. The analogy is given of spiritual progress. It's just like when you're threading, you have a petal garland, you make petals, you pick petals of a lotus, rose, more, and then you're putting a needle through the group of petals. How long, when you go through one petal, the other petal, so many petals get punctured at one time. So going through the stages as one advances, it's like threading the needle. It actually happens very, very fast. We think it's taking months and years. But actually, from Shraddha to Prema is very fast. The needle passes through. Anyway, it's another analogy. Three things that one feels. First, as we're eating, he feels satisfaction. Then he feels he's becoming nourished and strong. And then Radha Govinda, Pet Bolo Anande, Radha Govinda Bhaje. Pate Bolo Anande Bhaja Radha Govinda Bhaji. When the stomach is full, then you can do bhajan, worship Radha Govinda. When a bird fills himself up with seeds and worms and whatnot, then he sings so much. So this is what happens. We feel this. Similarly, A surrendered soul, as he engages in bhajan, he simultaneously experiences three effects: the awakening of bhakti going towards prema, the direct manifestation of Lord's beloved form, and detachment from all material objects. Those who eat only a little food, if you eat a little, torasab, if you eat only a little meager portion of food, you'll get little satisfaction, a little nourishment, and a little relief from hunger. Similarly, those who only perform a little hearing and a little chanting about Krishna will attain a little bhakti and some realization of the Lord and a little detachment. However, one achieves unalloyed Krishna prema when he does the material portions of the material portions of the body disappear, and the body becomes completely spiritualized, the sadhana siddhadeya fully manifest. Nonetheless, so not to disturb the false opinions of atheists and to protect the confidentiality of bhakti, Sri Krishna usually has his illusory energy, Mahamaya, exhibit the death of the gross body of the perfected sadhaka. An example of this is the disappearance of the Yadavas during the Moshala Lila. That means his own family members, they killed each other in a fight in Prabhasa Kshetra. However, sometimes to declare the superiority of bhakti, there is no death seen for the devotee, as in the case in the Bhagavatam with Dhruva Maharaj, who went in his self-same body, he went to the spiritual world. We can cite evidence for this point from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 25, text 32. Yaname nirjita somya guna jivena chitta ja bhakti yogena man nishto mad bhavaya prabhadyate. By practicing bhakti yoga, a devotee conquers over the gunas in the heart. And being my nirgun bhakta, unalloyed pure devotee, he attains a form like mine. So by bhakti yoga, you get siddhadeha, spiritual body. Kapila Dev in third canto also speaks of the transcendental nature of bhakti. As bhakti is transcendental, also the tadiya, this bhakti puja samagri, the ingredients of worship, such as flowers, incense, and ghee, also become transcendental by the touch of the limbs of bhakti, like Archan Marg. Thus, the defeat and destruction of that which is composed of the modes of nature can be brought about only by the process of bhakti. Very interesting point. He says, well, maybe confused. The devotee often, what Krishna usually does is when someone attains prema, a nishta, a sakti, bhava, and prema, he becomes a premi bhakta. He realizes his siddhadeya, sarup siddhi, actually realizes. Because now, there is no more karma to maintain the body. So generally he dies. Why does it say here? To protect the confidentiality of bhakti and not to disturb the false opinions of atheists. Because atheists, it's false opinion, they'll say, oh, there's this bhakti, you're wasting your time. There's no God. Bhakti yoga, it's just, you should just do bhog and madhava seva. Just serve mankind and work hard like an ass. Why you waste your time doing bhakti? Nothing happens anyway. Your whole life you practice bhakti, nothing happens. So then you see the devotee's practicing, and then he just dies. So the atheist say, look, he practiced so many years, and what did he get? He got nothing. So that's one level. Then the other level is to protect the confidentiality of devotional service. Because what happens? Evam prata supriya nama jata anurago, evam priya namam Sopriyanamam Tata Anurago. There's a verse in 11th canto. I think so. It says that when one attains the platform of prema, if he continued living on that platform of prema, he would start to exhibit various astasattvic bhavas. And people would become, say, what is this? The man has become pakal, he's become crazy. Because that verse says, evam pratasva supriyanamam, we can look it up real fast. It says that he starts running around like a madman. He starts yelling, supriyanamam, evam supriyanamam jata anurago, with great anurag, his priyanam. His priyanam might be Radhe. Radhe, 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 Radhe. He's really in prema. He's not some sahaji or some. He's in prema. He's just running around. People say, oh, he's a madman. Look, he did bhakti, he went mad. So this is very confidential. This is guhya rahasyam, the ecstasies. So Krishna says, better you die and you come to me, Oma Vrindavan. Then you'll experience your ecstasies. Because you see, Samayeva Prata Supriyanamam. Very nice verse about the madness. You must have heard madness, unmad. The devotee becomes mad. So to protect the confidentiality, that bhakti makes you mad. When you come to prema, become mad. Evam bratak swa priyanama kirtya jat anurago juta chitta uche hasatyato roditi roti gayat yun madhavan nrityati lokabaya un madhavan. Bhagavan, van means to possess, mada means intoxication, madness. Unmadavan, uttam madvan. He possesses the uttam, the topmost madness. He cries, he shouts, and says, evam vrata swapriyanam. He takes a vow to only chant the swapriyanam, kirtya, because of his great anurag. Jata anurag, anurag, intense anurag and love and premas came up, was arisen from his heart for the name of Radha and the form and qualities and pastimes of Radha. His swapriyanam, no more japa and anything. He's on liberated soul, atmaram bhakta. And he's laughing, hasati yato roditi roti gayat. He's loudly laughing and crying and rolling in the ground. Nrityati, he's mad. On Madhava, nrityati. Lokabaya, he doesn't care what anybody thinks. Lokabaya, the opinion of others. He's a madman, he's gone mad, crazy. Lock him up. Then Krishna doesn't want, he wants to protect the confidentiality, the sweetness, the intimacy, the confidentiality of this divine love which manifests in his great devotees. So they die. They come to the level of prema, they sit in asana, give up their bodies and fire of viraha, like this Ranabhadi Baba. Or they go off to some lonely place or die. Or they ask their disciples, what's tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow is Ekadasi. All right, tomorrow I'll leave my body. Prepare for my cremation or samadhi, whatever. You start kirtan tomorrow morning and tomorrow I'll leave. So they sit down, they got chant mala, and they leave. King Goswami, somebody left like this. Jiva Goswami left his body in the same place he did bhajan. So his samadhi mandir, samadhi is in the same place as bhajan kuti. Jiva Goswami left his body in the same place where he did bhajan. He sit down, do bhajan, and leave the body. Radhavanar mandir, the samadhi is a place where he did bhajan. So we do bhajan here, we'll leave, and samadhi here. Your reasons ill, say Vaishnavas die, while thou art still living in sound. So this is the point. So these gopis, it would be, as we discussed yesterday, Vishnu said it would be inauspicious for the gopis to give up their bodies on the night of the Rasa. Come for Rasa, ah, hey, what happened to those gopis? I called so many sadhanas to the gopis. Well, they all died last night. 5,000 gopis died last night. Huh? Very amangal. That is not mangal. That is amangal. So they were alive, very much alive. So they didn't die, and they enjoyed the ras. So we'll continue with this verse 11 tomorrow. Mahapran Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.